Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to episode number 52 of the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Sonia Dreisler. We're going to talk about the five things clients actually care about and how to get ready for 2018. So Sonia, these five things that clients actually care about, where did this stuff come from? And kind of where did you, how did you distill these five things?
I actually think it started as a conversation with the two of you. I was talking about how many advisors get focused on what they're really good at in the financial planning or investment advising process. And they focus so much on that and they assume that's what their clients want as well, which is not always the case. And then Kirk and I got talking actually about, well, if that's not what they care about, what do clients care about?
I like to stir it up.
You're pretty good at the stirring.
Thanks
there,
for sticking around. Well, I did.
I love these five things, and we're just going to start with number one, and then we'll give an overview of the other ones here in just a few minutes. But the first one is the most important one, and from a marketing and branding perspective, Sonia, this is where most advisors fall really short in their communication. And you say the number one thing that clients actually care about is trust, but there's some facets of this. So let's start breaking trust down.
Yeah. When I talk to advisors and I ask them, why are you successful? What do your clients like about you? Often the number one answer is trust, and they list that as their reason for success. And of course their clients trust them, and that's why they're successful, but you can't have trust until you have a relationship with the client, right? So it's sort of a chicken and the egg thing. And also, trust is a requirement. Mm-hmm. It's not a differentiator. So you do need to establish it. It's really important. It doesn't make you really different from the next person. What the differentiator is if you can establish that trust before your prospect becomes a client.
Well, let's break that down a little bit more. So how have you found advisors have the most success with building that trust on the front end? Because you break this down it would technically be three different sections here. So it'd be before the meeting, during the meeting, and after the meeting. So let's talk about before the meeting.
Yeah, well, before the meeting, the easiest way to have trust is to have that prospect be a referral. If a client has introduced you to their friend, the trust is there already. It's built in. If it's not a referral, then you need to build that trust more organically. They need to know who you are more than once regularly. This is not something like they see your name once and they trust you. You need to build a brand on sort of social media, your website, papers, blog, podcast. I know you guys can speak to that even better than I can. We're sticking to the before part, right?
Well, yes. And I want to highlight here that what you do with impact investing is a great way to not just build trust, but also build this relationship you're talking about, because there's some commonality here, right? I mean, when people are looking at impact investing, there's usually not just a sort of a mental thing. It's also a spiritual or heart or personally driven thing, isn't it?
Yeah, they're often emotionally connected. Not always. Some people choose to do impact investing because they're looking for forward thinking companies, which will hopefully produce better financial returns. Mm-hmm. But yes, often people come to it because with their heart or some sort of emotional piece or something they are very attached to, they want their portfolio aligned with their values or not doing harm
I think advisors really struggle with how to create trust before somebody becomes a prospect, and then between the stage between their prospect to becoming a client, and then when they're a client, trying to make them into an advocate. I just named this on my whiteboard as you were talking about this, Sonia. I'm going to call it the trust continuum.
I like that
podcast on it. but there's really four stages of it, right? There's suspect to prospect, or three stages, suspect to prospect, prospect to client, and client to advocate.
Yes.
And we're talking about before you meet with them, which is typically going to be suspect to prospect, mm-hmm. prospect to client. But the idea here is, you know, how do we do it? And impact investing, if you're marketing the fact that you do impact investing, that says something about your practice.
Absolutely.
You've chosen to differentiate yourself in this way, which is gaining momentum, as you talked about all the time. And I follow you on LinkedIn. Man, you got some great stuff. I love how engaged you are in the community, and you're obviously, it's one of the things that you're doing in your practice, in your business. So, but trust, you know, understanding there's a whole bunch of opportunities, and it's constantly like a challenge for advisors to take it to the next level. You had some ways here to mm-hmm. to try to do that. Would you mind going over some of those things?
Yeah, on the, you mean on the social media side?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, sure.
Is one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not in my practice, to be clear, I'm not marketing to clients. I'm marketing to other financial services professionals, but I can tell you what has worked for me and what I've seen work for my clients as well, who are financial advisors, RIAs. You have to share, you're not always sharing articles about yourself. When you're on LinkedIn, Twitter, or Facebook, and I would recommend you be on all three, you're not always marketing yourself. You're sharing educational articles, things that are of interest to your prospects. So if you're marketing to clients, you might send out things that are about general financial health and well-being, or tangential articles. And then every so often you can send something by that's written by you that's either educational or about you. This also, I find, relieves some of the pressure from RIAs and advisors. When I talk to them, they think that they need to be sending something out regularly that they've written. And writing that kind of content at that clip is very challenging. Nobody has time to write an article every day. Well, most people don't. You can share other articles that you have found interesting or helpful, and those, as long as they're educational and to the right audience, people appreciate your putting them out there. And then every so often you add in something about what you do. You can do an article, one of the pages from your website, or did you realize that I also do XYZ? And then even less frequently, but occasionally, do share something personal, something about yourself, if you're celebrating a holiday with your family, or something that came up naturally that you think people will be interested in, share it. Because people want to know that you're a real person. They want to connect with you. It's funny that my most popular tweet on Twitter is actually about a conversation I overheard on BART, our local train here, about people talking about their cats. And I'm sitting here thinking, every day I put out interesting educational content on Twitter, and the thing that gets the most appreciation is when I talk about public transportation and cats.
Wow.
But people really, you know, people connect with that kind of thing.
You know, I love how you do this for yourself, because it helps round out your brand, which I'm going to turn that over to Kirk here with how using other people's information or using other people's ideas can help round out your brand. Kirk, you want to jump on that?
When you're talking about trust and getting to that place, so if you've got somebody you're doing impact advisor who you're trying to work with to implement impact investing, the brand that should kind of tee up that is that, you know, that advisor values socially responsible investing. And if you weave that into your brand, or it's a big part of your brand, that becomes a story that, you know, when somebody goes to your website and you've got this, I call it a small but mighty statement, which is a compelling but brief statement, not small in stature. But the idea is, if you make a big statement that sounds different than and better, frankly, than whatever other advisors are doing, that intrigue sets the table for trust. They just said something that hit me inside. It's purpose driven. It's how I feel and think as a person, or as a dad or a mom or a community leader, whatever it is. I got to learn more about this person or this company. So the brand can have a huge impact on establishing trust. Just like, you know, so if you think about a website, you know, if you have that small but mighty statement at the top, and you said, that's pretty darn interesting. I call that intrigue in our advisor marketing blueprint. Once you get past intrigue, you want to engage them to build more credibility and trust, which is having papers and blogs and podcasts and stuff like that. So trust has a lot of dimensions, and there's a lot of opportunities to build it. What's interesting about trust is it doesn't end there, right? A lot of advisors don't do well with the kind of trust I just explained, having a great story, having credibility pieces like, do you know your stuff? Are you a thought leader? Do you understand me? You know, what's your process? What's your thinking? So having, you know, brand papers, blog, podcast, all that stuff. But there's after that, it's, you know, what do we do after you've met? So how do you create value in your practice? I know you got some good ideas on that, Sonia.
Yeah. And, you know, I would imagine most advisors listening to this podcast already know how to create value. That's what they're doing. So I can speak to that a little bit, but I don't want to dwell on it too much, because this is where you provide the core service that you've been contracted by your clients to do, whether that's financial planning, investment advice, or any other piece of the puzzle. You have to do it well. You have to always do it in the best interest of your client. And exactly how you do that is what makes your practice unique.
Yeah, to be honest, the next four things we're going to talk about are really about building value anyway. So this is just kind of a good segue.
Well, and number two was the planning aspect of it, right? So why don't we move into the planning, because that is what you're right. That's what they're contracted to do. And then you can move back and forth, because, again, building value after the meeting really can be part of the whole planning process, correct?
Yeah. And your clients, I mean, aside from the piece they've contracted to you to do, they want you to know them. I mean, I think that's probably universal across all businesses, right? People want to be known and understood and valued. And the way to do that is to have really in-depth person-to-person conversations with your clients about, of course, centering around their financial needs, because that's what we do. That's your practice. But get to know them better, understand who they are, what motivates them, what drives them, who their family, what their family's like, who's involved in decision making. And that knowing them well as a person creates a stronger connection, stickier clients. It sometimes will bring up other ways to engage your services, but also will bring opportunities later when you see something that makes you think of them. You know, if they volunteer on the weekends at the SPCA and you see some, I don't know, animal welfare article or something, you can send it their way. And they know that you both know them well and you're thinking about them even when you're not in the room having your, you know, quarterly performance review.
And I'm so glad that...
Interesting that when you're doing planning and you have to know your client, it's about having conversations and it's about getting personal with them, which is what they like on social too, right? They like the idea of, you know, what's going on in your life. Here's what's going on in my life. And you feeling like you care about their life and that you care enough to share about what's going on in your life too.
Yeah. So, and on the social piece, I should mention, you can't just post and then leave. Social media is supposed to be social. You need to be engaged. So if your clients comment on things, right, reply to them. Or if your clients are posting things, reply on those as well. And then also occasionally put pictures up, even if it's on LinkedIn, not regularly. LinkedIn is not supposed to be Facebook, but you can occasionally post a picture of you and your staff at a at a team meeting, or if you're speaking at an event, post a picture of that. And yes, make it social, just like Kirk was saying.
Yeah. One of the things I found really interesting and leading up to this podcast is when we were talking about planning, and one of the things that really intrigued me that you said was the advisors who can ask the difficult questions and sometimes the embarrassing questions, that's such a great skill and builds a lot of value, and clients care a lot about the advisor's ability to do that.
Yes. Financial planning is key. Even in a practice that doesn't have a CFP or a financial planning focus, you need to be able to address basic financial planning for all clients and be that person that your client can come to when they have an embarrassing question. Get to know them well and establish the trust so that they can come to you when they find out perhaps that their young adult child has run up $40,000 of credit card debt and they're not sure how to deal with it. And there's, you know, a pretty big stigma about that. They don't want that to be public. They don't know who to ask. You want to have that kind of trust that they can come to you, both trust, and they need to know that you are an expert enough here that you can help them figure out what to do.
And that really leads us to number three, which is being informed, right? So number one was building trust. Number two is planning of these five things that clients actually care about. Number three is being informed. And that's right where you're at right there, right? This is how do they communicate their expertise? And I love some of your thoughts on this. So let's unpack that.
Yeah. So this ties in both with the in-person and the social media. This also relates to email marketing, a newsletter, your website. You've got to provide education to your clients so that they can be informed. And I would say there's a few different aspects. You can do this in a give basic information without being patronizing. In person, when they're in your office, meet them where they're at in the knowledge process. Your clients are going to come in and know, some may know very little, some may know a lot. Teach them, meet them where they're at, teach them a little bit more so they understand and have a little bit more control over their financial life. And then as you get to know them, you can teach them a bit each topic you bring up provides value and they feel a little bit more in control of their financial life. Or for some clients, you'll need to understand that they want you to just do all of it for them. They mm-hmm. do not want to be engaged in this area. They have outsourced this piece of their life to you. They have goals and you can help them meet them or tell them when they're not on track.
And you know what?
They are just unwilling to to be engaged in this area at all.
I love the flow of this because you're going right in even into number four here with being informed, because which is number three. Number four is being understood and appreciated. If you know your client and you've gone through the trust process, the planning process, and really being informed and being professional in who you are, understanding how you're supposed to communicate that to your clients is such a huge component of what your clients really care about. Because you're right, Sonia, there could be some people who want every detail about everything, the alpha, beta, gamma, delta, Zulu, you know, and there could also be people who do exactly what you just said there, which is absolutely outsourcing it. So let's talk about knowing your client, because when it comes to impact investing specifically, this is one of those things that I'm assuming that you help advisors pull out, because again, impact investing is a very different way of thinking about your overall portfolio.
Okay, so there's a lot in there that I want to address. So let me start first by how we chat with our clients. And as a basic starting point, I would say no lingo and no alpha, no beta, no acronyms, no talking about PE ratio, unless your client is the type of client that wants that. And that's the part of the know your customer, know your client that's really important. So you will have to be knowledgeable and be able to speak about that with the clients that want it, but probably most don't. So break it down, use words they understand and meet them where they're at. And also know that you can't be everything to everyone. Every potential client is not your potential client. You can't satisfy everybody. So you've got to know where you fit into the market and what your key ideal clients are. And last, you were asking me about impact investing and knowing your clients. And this is a really unique way to both know your clients better and also create deeper, more lasting relationships. Because in the impact investing process, in the sort of get to know you process with clients, you, by nature of the type of investing conversation you're having, you're talking about what's important to them. What are their values? And those are related to both their investing and their non-investing values. So you get to form this deeper bond with the client when they're talking about what matters to them, what they really care about. And you can both design the portfolio around that, but also have other sort of touch points and connections with them about the things that they care about now that you know.
I find number four interesting in this list of five things, because number one is about, one of the things we talked about was, you know, being able to build trust. Number two, planning, was being able to ask these, you know, tough questions and sometimes embarrassing questions and really get to the heart of, you know, how to build a financial plan. And this number four here is really about the implementation of that stuff. It's about taking everything you know and learned about them and then being able to apply it so that they feel like you appreciate where they're at, that you actually understand enough about who they are and their family and their values, mm-hmm. and their passions and their goals, that you can actually do something with it. I find that interesting, that the, you know, everything's kind of funneling here.
Yeah, and this has almost nothing to do with financial services. I mean, the initial conversation does in the impact investing arena, but you can have this conversation without doing impact investing. It may not be as natural, and it's definitely not tied to the portfolio. But just knowing the client really well, knowing them as a person, like we said at the top of the podcast, was just getting to know your client as a person, their full identity, what's important to them, who their family is, and creating those deeper relationships with people, it creates trust and builds a stronger relationship that will also carry you through when your portfolio returns are not, mm-hmm. are not what they could be.
I love, from a pure marketing and even from a referrals and sales perspective, I think what you're doing and what you teach is so interesting, because, you know, somebody is sitting around and they're hanging out with their friends and family and they're talking about, you know, whatever, something that they're passionate about. This is such an easy transition for them. Well, you know, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, we've actually, our part of our retirement is built into what our values are, right? I mean, that's just such an easy handoff. And it,
yeah.
And I love, Sonia, yeah. I love the fact that you can sit down with them in your annual reviews or semi-annual reviews. And you're right, even if their portfolio isn't totally, you know, meeting the you know, rate of return of the S&P, it doesn't matter, because it's meeting the rate of return of who they are as a human being.
Yes. And I don't want to conflate those two, that like impact investing has subpar returns, because it doesn't.
Sure.
They're usually, it's about correlated with the index. Anyhow.
Yeah.
But it's true. A deep relationship with your client, impact investing or not, will help carry you through the years that are where your portfolio is underperforming. And then it'll be even extra great when years that you're outperforming. I do want to, if you're up for it, I want to talk about how to actually execute that. If you know,
oh yeah, totally.
About, so say you've got 100 or 200 or 300 clients, and you start to have these conversations. You may know them all well in your head, and things may pop up that are interesting, and you think of one or two clients. But if you can put this into a system in your office where your staff can help, or your technology can help you, it goes a long way towards actually implementing, because knowing your client is great, but if they don't know that you know them, it doesn't do you much good. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So what I suggest to people is use your CRM, and you should have a CRM. That's probably a topic for another podcast, but let's just assume you have a CRM. So take one of the spaces in the CRM, the spaces that you can create for your own topic, and have that be, you know, their interests, and create a subset of a list of interests, and whether that's, you know, environmental activism, gender diversity on boards, animal welfare, human rights, whatever the list is, and then tag your clients that are interested in each of those things. And then when an article comes up say, there was just recently a great article on Bloomberg about gender diversity in boards and how, you know, having more women on boards leads to better performance. And so you can go into your CRM, find all the clients that are tagged with that interest, and send them each an email with this article. It doesn't have to be a long email. It should be slightly personal, have the client's name, you know, like, hi, Anne, I know you're interested in XYZ, so I wanted to pass this article along to you. I thought of you when I read it. I hope you're doing well. That's it. Yep. So you can do that. You can have a staff person do that. If you find the article, tell your assistant what the sort of related tag is. They can do this on your behalf. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to take a ton of work to make a real impact with the client. And the other piece, when you were talking about referrals, the other thing that makes impact investing specialists very referable is when they tell the stories of the impact, the stories of where the client is invested, where there's both a environmental or social impact and also a positive financial impact. So I actually have a few of those stories just as examples on my website, in the blog area of my website, if anybody wants to have a look. And they're a really nice way to tell your clients a story so they can relate to their portfolio. And it's also a story that's retellable from client to friend who could be a referral.
Yeah. And we'll make sure that we get that in the show notes. So let's take it from the top here real quick, and then we will go ahead and wrap up today's podcast. So we are talking about the five things clients actually care about in getting ready for 2018. Number one was trust. Number two was planning. Number three was being informed. Number four was being understood and appreciated. And Sonia, the last one you have here is number five, getting access when they need it most. What do you mean by that?
Sure. This is the ability for the client to reach you when it suits them, not necessarily when it suits you as the advisor. So traditionally, advisors have been available by phone and sometimes by email during business hours. This is not enough anymore. You still need to be available by phone and email. But clients want more. And often folks who are not engaged in their portfolio daily, they're not thinking about this until like 10 at night when they're paying their bills. They might go look at their investment portfolio and have a question for you. So be available, not by phone at 10 at night, but let them schedule a call or visit or an in-person visit through your website. So add a calendar app to your website. I have one that I love. I'm not here to endorse one or the other. There's tons of them, but let clients schedule with you online. Make it easy so that when they're thinking about you, they can engage. In that same vein, let them see you in videos. You can post them on your website. You could do a video top five frequently asked questions on your website, and then you could take those five videos, and I would do five separate videos, 1 minute videos on your website for the frequently asked questions. And you can repurpose them in social media. So they're multi-purpose. You should also offer, you can offer screen sharing and video conferences if clients are not available to come in to your office. And then if you're comfortable, I would offer your cell phone and tell the client that it's okay to call you in an emergency, but that you turn off your phone at whatever time of night, say 9 at night. Mm-hmm. And then you actually need to hold to that and not answer any client calls that come in after 9 at night. You can't have your clients totally running the show, but being available to them provides, it just builds on that trust. We keep coming back to that same thing.
Well, I love the convenience aspect of it. And we've talked about that with some other professionals that Kirk and I are networked with. Especially the convenience of video conferencing, right? So if they have a question, they don't need to drive. Like, and you live in an area where traffic is an issue. You know, if they're going to drive, you know, 45 minutes to come see you and it really is a 15 minute conversation, why don't you just do it over Skype, or why don't you just do it over a GoTo or a Zoom? And that way you can do all of the screen sharing and address their their issues, make them feel, again, that they're understood and appreciated and that you care and want them to be informed, all of the things that we've been talking about today, but make it convenient. Yes, face-to-face, in a room, shaking hands, looking people in the eyes, there's nothing that can take that place, but for convenience sake, a lot of people are getting a lot more comfortable with interfacing with screens, and it can work very, very well. And with that, any closing thoughts there, Sonia or Kirk?
I want to just add to your screens remark that I think video conferencing is just far more engaging than a phone call. If you have the opportunity to do either phone or video, opt for video, and encourage your clients to opt for video too, because then you know they are looking at you, they're 100% engaged, they're not checking their phone or their email on their other, you know, while they're on the phone with you, and they feel like they are with you mm-hmm. more. So I would opt for the video when it's possible. Yeah.
You can also gauge their body language and their yeah. facial expressions if they're really understanding it or just saying they are, or if they're, you know, there's all kinds of things going on there. So it's we do more video out. The standard seems to be when we do we've done a lot of voice to voice meetings over the years and a lot of screen sharing, but more and more everybody just automatically by default turns on their camera now. And that wasn't the case, you know, even a couple of years ago, but now it's really changed. And that's a good thing. It's good to see people.
Agree. And in terms of closing comments, gosh, I would just encourage people to be really authentic as you're connecting with your clients and getting to know them very well. Let them get to know you also. It's okay to occasionally talk about things that are important to you. The relationship cannot be about you. The relationship needs to be about the client, focus on the client all the time. But they also let them know you as a person too, so that the trust goes both directions.
Yeah. Kirk, you have any closing ideas?
I have some closing thoughts. I mean, Sonia has two specialties. One is helping advisors implement impact investing into their practice, and the other one is just being a good practice management consultant. That's one of the reasons that we make sure we get Sonia on our podcast, and we'll have her back again, is because she's in the trenches with advisors, helping them. So if you go to Sonia's website, which is Sonia?
Solutionswithsonia.com. And that's Sonia with a Y.
And there's other stuff that we talked about today, like the idea of having a white paper or starting your own podcast and the value those can add to building trust. We also talked a little bit about video. If you go to Advisor U, which is at topadvisorm.com, and you click Advisor U in the top right, there's all kinds of papers and exercises there to help you be better at doing some of this stuff. So those are that's a dual plug there, Matt.
Good plug. We're also going to be offering some mini courses here very, very soon, talking about really how to deepen the relationship with clients by using different mediums and different techniques. But my closing statement is going to be very, very quick, which is all of this, everything that Sonia is talking about today with these five things clients actually care about, all have to start with a very good brand. If you're able to communicate who you are and what makes you different in a brand, in what your foundation of your organization is, all of this other stuff is going to be able to be built on top of that brand foundation, and everything becomes a lot easier because you got that core message. And the core message, especially with impact investing, is, you know, doing something that's fundamentally different, that's in line with who you are as a human, not just your pocketbook, which I absolutely freaking love. So with that, Sonia, Kirk, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
And this was episode number 52, Five Things Clients Actually Care About, Getting Ready for 2018 with Sonia Dreisler. And if you have not subscribed to the podcast, please make sure that you click the subscribe now button below, because that way every time we come out with a new one, it'll go right to your listening device. With that, we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.